Magandang araw, Podmates! Tapos na ang halalan. Maraming malungkot at marami ring masaya. Maaring marami ring nalilito. Para subukan magbigay linaw sa mga pangyayari, kasama natin ngayon si Political Science Professor Jean Encinas Franco ng University of the Philippines, Diliman. Magandang araw sa inyo, Professor Jean.
Magandang araw, Howie. Magandang araw din sa lahat ng mga naka-tune in.
Prof, no, I need to ask a personal question. How are you feeling, no? Kasi para maraming na-stress sa halalang ito, no? Is this level of anxiety typical of our election aftermath?
Actually, hindi, no. For me, no, personally, I have never been this anxious about an election and have never been this emotional about an election outcome, no. So kakaiba itong election na to.
Saan nanggagaling itong anxiety and emotions?
Siguro yung anxiety, yung kasi alam natin na napaka-consequential nitong election na to. Kumbaga merong existential threat sa ating democratic processes. Chine-challenge tayo whether are we going to remember history or forget about it, no? So aside from the fact that we're reeling from the pandemic, tumaas ulit ang poverty rate according to the data. We know that malaking challenge yung nababadyang pagbalik ni Marcos Jr. at ng kanyang pamilya sa national level politics sa bansa, no? And it's something that's very emotional for most of us.
So I'll ask you about that impact a little later. Pero as we speak, ano, malaki ang lamang ni Bongbong Marcos at ni Sara Duterte sa bilangan, no? What do you think was the biggest factor behind their performance in the polls?
The biggest factor is that they've started campaigning a long time ago, no? Media investigative reports and academics have actually traced the move to sanitize or spruce up the Marcos brand, you know, to erase the history of martial law and all its atrocities and dismal economic performance since the 2000s. When Marcos Jr. lost in the 2016 election, they've sort of intensified it. And di ba, sabi rin naman din ng itong mismong mga reports, yung mga disinformation ay karamihan noon ay 94% benefits Marcos Jr., whereas the main target is actually Lenny Robredo. So talagang ano, no, talagang matagal na pinaghandaan. At sa aking palagay, para maging ganito kaka-obsessed manalo, anim na taon mong pinaghandaan with that magnitude, siguro napakalaki ng resources mo. And I don't think yung lahat ng kandidato combined kayang i-match yung resources na meron ng Marcos camp.
Okay, we've all been observing itong mga videos online, itong mga pinapropagate na kwento tungkol sa martial law, tungkol sa administrasyon ng kanyang ama, no. Pero nung mga unang survey last year, no, even until October, November, hindi naman masyadong pumapalo ito si Bongbong Marcos sa surveys, no, despite this years long effort nga to rehabilitate their image and prop up his reputation, ano. Nagsimula lang tumaas sa surveys nung nagtandem sila ni Sara Duterte, no. So so how big a factor was that? I mean, was that the deciding factor? Do you think kung wala si Sara Duterte bilang vice presidential running mate niya, mananalo si Bongbong Marcos?
Hindi ganun kalaki ang lamang, no? Or maaaring halos pantay lang sila, no, ni VP Lenin. Ngunit yung pagsali ni Sara Duterte na-reinforce nila ang isa't isa. Kasi may pareho silang narrative, eh. Yung strongman appeal ng kanilang tatay, kung saan gamit na gamit nila yung supposed legacy ng kanilang mga tatay sa kampanya at yung pagpresenta nila bilang mga presidential and vice presidential contenders sa mga tao. So malaking bahagi ito. At kung tutuusin, ako lagi kong sinasabi ito, the Duterte administration paved the way for the Marcos candidacy and eventual victory, so to speak, no, in the 2022 elections, no, kung titingnan natin yung trend ngayon. Kasi ano eh, noong bumulusok si Duterte during the 2016 election, remember, he was already being likened to Marcos, no? So parang nagkaroon ng rebirth yung strongman appeal among Filipinos. Secondly, one of his first acts was to bury the dictator in the libingan ng mga bayani. So it somehow cemented all the efforts of the Marcos camp to sanitize their history. And then, you know, he spoke very fondly of the Marcoses. Pwera na lang itong malapit na yung election when he tried to, when he was disappointed over the fact that he was not consulted dun sa negotiations for Sara to join the tandem, di ba?
May mga nagsasabi rin na itong pagkapanalo nila is just the latest proof na napakalaking factor pa rin yung regionalism, no?
Which has
always been part of our politics, no? Even in this modern era. Mm-mm. At so yung pagsanib ng North na si Marcos with the Southerner na si Sara Duterte made them almost unbeatable, no?
Exactly. Kung makikita mo yung Philippine map tapos yung mga returns ngayon, makikita mo yung gitna, andun yung Bicol, tapos kaunti ng yung sa Visayas at saka yung Quezon, bumoto para kay Lenny, no? Pero yung up no, NCR up north tapos yung sa baba, Mindanao, talagang kay Sara Duterte, no? So makikita mo pa rin. And to a certain extent, no, tama yung parang may sinabi noon si Aimee na made in heaven daw yung tandem, no? At parang sinabi na rin yun ni Marcos nung araw nung pinakasalan niya si Imelda. Oo. So a combination of those factors. Ako, I love Senator Kiko Pangilinan, but from the very start I thought yung pagsali niya talagang medyo hindi ganun kalaki ang naitulong niya dun sa numbers ni VP Lenny. Ngunit alam naman natin na last minute decision din yun, di ba? Yung pagsali niya sa kampanya. Kaya kasi wala naman masyadong malinaw na bailiwick si Kiko Pangilinan. Although of course they're banking on celebrity power, pero tila overall hindi talaga nakatulong sa kampanya ni VP Lenny yung celebrity power ngayon. I mean, maaaring nakatulong pero not enough to counter the numbers of Marcos.
So the results are playing out more or less according to the numbers in the surveys, no? Kasi hindi pa naman totally tapos yung bilang.
Yeah,
so looking back on the campaign now, considering those survey numbers na hindi masyadong gumalaw since early this year, and then the machinery nga na nabanggit nyo, and then itong North-South tandem, no, plus the support of local politicians, karamihan ng governors, for example, kumampi sa kanila, and then the years-long effort at rehabilitating the Marcos name, which you also described, which was apparently well-funded and talagang it's been going on for a long time, no? Was there a realistic path to victory for Lenny Robredo considering all of those factors in her adversary's favor, no? What was the greatest hope na mananalo siya?
When she launched her campaign, I was a bit skeptical with yung message of radical na pagmamahal. Kasi I thought they were campaigning against Marcos Jr., who was touting his father's legacy, anchored on the false narrative of his father's administration having lowered the prices of goods, ganito yung mga nagpagawa ng maraming kalye and everything. Pero syempre tinatago nila yung corruption and everything. Pero hindi naman nila in-explain din yung value ng pera, magkano yung minimum wage nung panahon na yun. Kaya ganun lang yung presyo ng mga bilihin, hindi ba? But they did not have that message, yung kampanya ni VP. No? Very, yung radical na pagmamahal, while some people may understand it, most of the Filipinos might not really resonate with that kind of message. Kasi ano ba yung radical na pagmamahal? Nakakain ko ba yan? Will it help me have a job or a livelihood given that there's still the pandemic. So yun doon pa lang sabi ko kasi dapat medyo populist din dapat yung kampanya nila. Of course, I understand that they wanted to transform politics, no? But some people do that after they are elected. No, but I admire them for launching a campaign that we can all be proud of. But unfortunately, not all Filipinos would accept or would take a liking to that kind of messaging.
Well, I think the reading of some or many observers was may deliberate effort nga na umiwas sa negative campaigning because it wasn't being effective. No, it wasn't just being wanting to be a nice person, di ba? It wasn't being effective, and I guess based on man on the street interviews with people who were inclined towards Marcos already, parang they felt na ang parang halos binubuli na si Marcos, di ba? Masyado siyang binabatikos, and then of course si Lenny was not on attack mode, no? Pero marami siyang followers na ganun, no? And I guess may nagkaroon ng conclusion yung campaign niya na this wasn't going to work, no? It wasn't going to help Lenny. So I guess they tried this opposite tack kasi almost the exact opposite sa negative campaigning, yung radical na pagmamahal, yung turning the other cheek, no? Kahit inaatake ka na, kahit tinatawag ka na ng names, because certainly the other side was using negative campaigning against her even when she was she was vice president, no? So I guess there was that struggle with messaging, no?
Yes. Uh-oh.
I guess if you're going to take a populist stance, no? Mas madali siguro maghanap ng messaging, no? Just threaten people or really go all out on the negative campaigning. Pero
yes.
Medyo radical nga yung messaging na radical na pagmamahal, yung tipong let's just love each other, let's try to reach out, let's just be kind, di ba?
I understand. I understand. Kaya lang di maari siguro hindi nila tinawag yun na radical na pagmamahal. I don't know how to look for a word that would appeal to most people. Tapos the trouble din kasi with a campaign led by volunteerism, syempre kanya-kanyang mensahe. No? Kanya-kanyang mensahe at hindi mo talaga maaalis syempre yung mga ibang camps na medyo paternalistic din, 'di ba? Na niyon, and for some people, they, especially if you are a Marcos Jr. supporter, you will hold on to your belief if you are attacked, no? If your intellect is attacked, if your economic class is attacked. So yun yung din ang isa pang naging problema, no? Sa aking palagay. But then of course, having said that, I think the campaign of Lenny is something that every Filipino can be proud of. And
why do you say that? Excuse me.
Because they tried to transform the way campaigns are done. No, it showed that Filipinos from all walks of life, are willing to spare their time, their efforts, their resources, just to have a Philippines or a government that Filipinos rightfully deserve. Yeah.
Well, certainly, there was some idealism in the campaign.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
And I think that was also the source of hope for many, no?
Yes.
Especially in these last months where we were all witness to these huge historic rallies, no? And then itong volunteerism that we've rarely seen, and then the house-to-house campaigning that I think we've never seen in a national campaign.
Exactly.
Presidential campaign, umaasa dyan yung mga malalaking rallies, of course, yung meeting the Avance, pero yung granular campaigning, house-to-house, street-by-street, no? So ang daming bagong strategies and activities never seen before in our political culture. And of course, you mentioned celebrity power, no? That's more traditional than these other factors that I mentioned. That's why ang dami rin umaasa na kasi milyon-milyon din yung mga fans nitong mga celebrities katulad ni Piolo, no? Sila Vice Ganda, and then itong mga may mga online influencers din na kumampi kay Lenny, no? So now people are asking, you know, where were all these fans, no? I mean, kung milyon-milyon yung mga followers ng mga celebrities na to, and I only mentioned several, there are many performers.
So,
nag-aagawan nga ng slot sa lineup sa mga
rally,
yes, diba?
Yes.
So is the message now from this election that all of these new elements of campaigning and on this scale, no, itong huge numbers that we saw in Pasay, on Emerald, in the meeting de Avance in Makati, they don't really matter, no? What still matters is kung ano nakapanalo kay Bongbong Marcos, yung local patronage politics, yung loyalty ng mga governors and mayors,
regionalism,
and then maybe the new thing is the TikTok videos na matagal nang ginagawa para kay Bongbong, which you also mentioned earlier, no? So is that the message, which is probably disheartening for many, kasi sabi niyo nga this campaign is something that Filipinos can be proud of, and yet it was a losing strategy.
Yes.
It was a losing
yes.
campaign, no? So maybe this is will this be a once in a lifetime thing, knowing that all of these, you know, politicians who want to win in the future, the even younger ones, will see na kahit malalaking campaign mo, hindi ka pa rin mananalo kung wala kang itong mga local patronage, itong kung wala kong katandem na tiga ibang rehiyon, and let's face it, kung hindi ako gumamit ng disinformation, no? Na strategy din yan, na we know that si Lenny was denouncing the use of that, no? So it was not an intentional, or it was not a major part of her strategy, no? So is that the message that we're all taking away from this, na this idealism, itong radical na pagmamahal, itong mga rallies, volunteerism, house to house campaigning, magandang tingnan, it's good for the image, maganda, you know, masaya, but it's not effective
yes.
in terms of winning an election.
And I'm pretty sure traditional politicians are happy. Kasi, let's face it, how many of them can actually wage a similar campaign? No? Na kailangan i-inspire mo yung mga tao para magkaroon ganun karaming daming tao sa rally, ganun karaming magbumili ng merchandise mo, di ba? Wala pa akong naiisip na ibang politiko na kayang gawin ulit ito, no? So they're happy that they're sticking to the game they know best. 'Di ba? So 'yun yung nakakalungkot dito, no? With regard to celebrity power, you know, I have to really salute all these celebrities. Tumaya sila. Marami kailangan baguhin yung contracts. Ang alam ko, marami may mga penalties sa contracts nito, and tumaya sila. At tumaya sila, hindi lang walang bayad. Baka yung iba kailangan pang mag-abono. I mean, the bother, no? And also resources that have cost them, talagang significant din. But what is remarkable is the fact na tumaya sila dun sa isang napakumbag babasihan yung survey, malayo. Diba? So, napaka-admirable, no, ng kanilang ginawa. Pero yung sasabihin natin, yung celebrity power, kasi yung sa pag-aaral, alam mo kung saan lang yun na-test? Sa senators. I have a colleague who studied it, and he said that celebrity endorsements were really possible or can really make senators win, no, in elections. Pero hindi pa siya nasubukan at presidential or vice presidential level. Yun din. And maybe the endorsements were too late already. Kasi parang April, May lumabas eh. Diba? So, yun din yung pwedeng tingnan doon.
Okay, the showbiz endorsements mukhang wala masyadong nadalang boto, no? But hindi lang naman mga showbiz personalities nag-endorse, no? So many personalities from all walks of life, you had, you know, doctors, medical frontliners doing dances, you had theater artists, you had mga, you know, writers for Lenny, you had businesses, you know, there were restaurants where, you know, naka-pink yung mga waiter, you know, ang daming naglagay ng pink sa mga facades nila. The universities, many universities actively, you know, they endorsed Lenny and they campaigned. And of course, ang daming nagkaroon ng campaign surveys and laging natatalo si Bongbong Marcos sa mga university surveys. Ano? So you would think, maraming first-time voters, marami dyan, college students. No? So, all of these gave hope to the campaign, no? Yun ang nakakapagtaka na in the end, parang, where were all of these votes, no? Kumbaga, despite doing all of these new things, she did even worse now than she did in 2016. There are more voters today than in 2016. If I'm not mistaken, hindi pa naman tapos yung bilangan, no? But it looks like she will either get the same number of voters or even less this time around.
I also got the sense that people voted for Marcos Jr. just because they hate Lenny. And it's understandable because the Duterte administration has actually pilloried Lenny for the past 6 years, even using state resources. There's a lot of misogyny, there's a lot of sexism involved, and it seems to corroborate what a 2019 survey indicated, that more than 50% of Filipinos prefer men as leaders compared to women. So in a sense, this reinforced the fake news blitz about Lenny being not intelligent, Lenny Lutang, Lenny Lugaw. Kasi imposibleng ganun kabilis mag-stick, no? Sa mga Filipinos yung ganung label, no? Bakit ganun, di ba? Whereas si Bongbong naman, yung kabilang kampo, sabi duwag. So, very ano din yun, very gendered din yun, no? Kasi para sa lalaki, para tawaging duwag, napaka ano no, no? That's something that, kumbaga, challenges your masculinity.
And when nung una siyang tinatawag na duwag, I think this was shortly after he declined to be interviewed, no, by Jessica Soho.
Mm-mm.
Maraming observers nagsasabi na ito ang maging effective sa mga Pilipino, no? Maaring yung mga human rights, mga corruption, baka walang impact 'yan, pero pag tinawag ng duwag and then there's an actual incident that would tend to prove that, 'di ba? Hindi siya nagpakita. And then di siya nakipagdebate. Some people thought that would stick and that would have an effect on people's decision. Kasi sino bang may gusto ng pangulo na duwag, right?
Mm-mm. Yeah, pero alam mo, ang tingin ko rin kasi, unang-una yung debates, parang they don't seem to matter to most Filipinos. Kasi nga, hindi pa tayo nakarating dun sa, ano, na may culture of debates. Hindi pa tayo nakarating dun and yet some countries are moving away na from debates, di ba? Yung duwag si BBM, hindi nagsistick kay BBM precisely because it's not actually BBM that people like, but people like what BBM represents. And it is Marcos Sr., the father. Diba? So parang proxy lang si BBM.
Yeah, well, that's interesting kasi nga ang karamihan naman ng botante ngayon ay hindi na naabutan si Marcos Sr. So they're really relying on all of these online videos and what they're seeing on Facebook, etc. Balikan ko lang yung sinabi nyo na maraming botante na may ayaw kay Lenny because of the propaganda, no? Yun nga, siniraan siya, ayaw sa kanya ni Pangulong Duterte. And this went on for almost the entire administration, ano? On the other hand, I think si Lenny umaasa na based on person-to-person interactions, people would have a real, a more authentic impression of her to counter all of these online videos that are saying things that were probably not true kasi hindi naman siya boba, di ba?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you listen to her, she makes sense, you know?
Uh-uh.
And that was also her strategy noong 2016 kasi kung itatrack mo yung campaign sorties niya doon, ang dami niyang pinuntahang probinsya, no? And then as vice president, wala siyang inuurungan na appointment na, I mean, ilang beses ko nang narin nakita yan, ano? Minsan kinumbi na yung Pangulo, the President declined, pero the Vice President appeared, no? She would accept so many invitations, and she would, alam naman natin na pag may sakuna, nandun siya, you know, dun sa pandemya, naging active siya. So I guess part of her strategy to counter that, itong image destruction effort against her and this misogyny was to introduce herself to as many people as possible, no? So ako personally, as an observer, I thought that was a pretty good strategy, kasi between a video, and an actual visit sa iyong barangay o sa iyong napinsalang community sa isang probinsya, let's say nung Typhoon Odette or, you know, one of these big disasters, abay, mas ano, pagbabasihan ko yung impression ko doon sa yung aktual na pagdalaw sa amin kaysa sa napapanood ko lang sa phone ko, no? I mean, that's just my logic in my head, no? But yeah, I don't really know the actual psychological underpinnings nitong TikTok and YouTube, dahil hindi naman ako masyadong nanonood niyan, no?
Yeah, ako din.
Well, of course, I mean, because we you know, you and I, we don't really have much motivation to do unless we're scholars really studying that, no? So yan ang ano, maybe I don't know if my hunch still has some logical basis, or should we throw that assumption out na itong baka mas malakas talaga itong mga videos kaysa sa itong interpersonal, which is kind of sad actually, because people are more influenced by what they see on the screen than what they experience in the real world, di ba? I don't know, what are your thoughts on that, Prof?
Actually, pareho tayo ng hunch, no? I thought that would make a difference, no? It's also the House-to-House campaigns, yung kanyang pag-reach out. But then, sa akin kasi, yung pernicious effects nung disinformation, I think we're only just beginning to understand it, eh, no? But I believe it really messes up people's minds na sa palagay ko, it is only Marcos Jr. who can actually make people turn away from him, no? They have to see Marcos Jr. fail his promises or fail, you know, whatever it is that he, that public who voted for him saw in him, or in what he was saying, or in what he was presenting to the people during the campaign. Yun lang. Kasi may counter din sila eh kay Lenny. They would say na nagbabait-baitan. No? So baka rin din. Baka feeling nila hindi totoo si Lenny. Yes, and nagbabait-baitan. That he is associated with the Dilawan. No? Which actually also has no logic, di ba? Binilang ng mga tao kung ilan yung kakampi nila na ilang taon yung mga kakampi nilang political families na namuno, ilang taon si Aquino III at saka Cory Aquino. So, yun, no? So maaring ganun yung naging effect sa tao. Hindi pa rin nila nakikitang genuine. Or it's just probably the sheer volume of people that has to be met by Lenny Robredo for them to change their minds. So, hindi naman kaya yun sa isang kampanya.
Well, pero I mean, she has been vice president and she did use the resources of her office to really travel from one end of the country to the other times, no?
Oo.
So hindi lang naman yung kampanya siya nagpakilala sa tao, no?
Yes.
Yan talagang estilo niya, no? From before pa, even as a non-politician.
Yeah.
She was community worker. So yun talaga ang yun talaga yung kanyang natural inclination o nakasanayan, no? Hindi naman and in fact when some people were I heard some were offering to fund troll farms for her and similar social media strategies as some of her enemies, pero hindi siya masyadong kumakagat. Ayaw niya, no? She was really trying to take the high road, no? And then I guess that also gave rise to what you were saying na may mga nagsasabi nagbabait-baitan.
Oo.
Oo. But yung mga, just final point lang, marami siyang campaigners na nakausap ko, sinasabi nila na, alam mo, pag nakita mo up close and personal, pag napakinggan mo, mako-convert ka, no? And dami-daming swing voters, up to as many as 30% of the voters are still undecided swing voters, pag narinig mo siya, mako-convert mo, at hindi ka maniniwala dun sa propaganda, no? And I guess enough people believe that as well to show up at the rallies, kasi malalaki talaga yung rallies.
Mm-mm. Yeah, you know, totoo yun, no? I saw that video in which she was talking to factory workers. I thought that was very effective. It should have been a TV advertisement, actually. Meron din kasi silang parang not so good advertisements, television advertisements during the start of the campaign na medyo hindi mo maintindihan kung anong message. Oh, that's one. Tapos yung ano rin, no, yung sa pagiging vice president. You know, I've also seen her videos, no, yung projects niya. I don't think she performed as vice president or she did all those projects, having in mind that she will run for president in the 2022 elections. Kasi otherwise, why would she fund a pandemic recovery project in Talim Island na napakalayo na wala, hindi nga siya binoto eh. Nung yung Rizal, mababa siya sa Rizal during the 2016 elections. Pero nagpumondo siya, no? And when she speaks then, and when she talks about his problems, these projects, he speaks like an undersecretary. You know what I mean? Na parang hindi ako ito. I mean, hindi para to sa, hindi, kumbaga, hindi ako ito. Meaning, parang hindi siya pa-epal, so to speak, no? So, at alam mo na binabalik-balikan niya, no? Hindi siya dole out, no? So, yun eh. Kung minsan, baka kailangan yun, no? Na talagang akin to. So, hindi siya ganun eh. She talks about the project per se, not about herself. Again, which veers away from how traditional politicians do it.
And I guess in the tone of what you're saying now is that's closer to the ideal. Kasi
exactly.
Genuine service delivery.
Yes,
but on the other hand, it's not a formula for winning the presidency.
Yes, exactly.
So
exactly.
May malaking dilemma, no? May malaking disconnect dyan. That if you're going to be genuine about service delivery and public service and concern for the community, etc., it's not really going to help you as a politician.
Yeah, you know, when I first heard that VP Lenny was going to run, I thought, sabi ko, wow, you know, the Philippines may not be ready for a Lenny Robredo. Maybe if she will run in New Zealand, she will win. Yan ang biro ko. Totoo! Kasi parang yung level of development that we have right now in which many people are either poor or they have already elevated to a non-poor status pero hirap na hirap maging middle class. Parang talagang ang gusto ng tao yung immediate assistance, which the Bongbong Marcos camp has promoted throughout this campaign. Diba? Kasi yun yung Marcos brand. Wala kang gagawin. Oh, ito ang ayuda, itong lahat. Whereas Lenny wants people to be partners in finding solutions to our problems. Hindi pa handa ang mga tao, I guess.
Well, that's just based on this result, no? So I want to ask you.
Yeah, exactly.
Magkakaroon ba ng lasting impact ito? I'm asking maybe on behalf din ng mga naobserbahan ko na mga Gen Z, including my own son.
Yeah, who's just ako rin, my own daughter.
Oo, na first-time voter, first-year college, no? At yung mga barkada niya na before, you know, they were typical, medyo self-centered na teenagers, bigla na lang ang dami pang ibang pinagkakaabalahan that really has very little to do with their own little world, no? Biglang...
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I'm sure you've observed the same thing, no? Naghanap ng gagawin, pati mga pinsan niya, na mga medical student na yan, naghanap ng oras para sumali, no? Sumali sa mga rally, etc. No? I'm wondering, and of course, I'm sure you're talking to your own child, no? We have to talk to our children about what this all means. Kasi napakalaking disappointment, no? yung kinampanya nila, of course tayo, we have the longer view, and you know wins and losses, I mean it's part of life, no,
but mm-mm.
sila ngayon lang sila tumaya in effect, no, and natalo sila, and ang laki ng kanina lang nung bumaba yung anak ko, sabi niya, and kasama niya yung isang friend niya, you know, we're going out to eat kasi we're grieving.
Yeah.
We're grieving, no? He wasn't joking. So we're in similar places, prof, no?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
so
yeah.
How do you talk to young people about this? Ikaw, as a mother and
ako,
as a professor, teacher.
Yeah. I hugged my daughter last night and I told her I was in EDSA 1986. I was a high schooler at that time and I was in EDSA 2001. So it was just surrealistic to experience the moment last night. No, but then sabi ko nga, and I also said this in an interview that, you know, Marcos Jr. might have won the election, but it was Lenny and Kiko who have captured the hearts and minds of this generation. And they'll never forget it. And no one can take it away from them. Sabi ko, yung buong kampanya is a masterclass in civic education. Diba? Na may mga panahong kailangan mong tumaya. There are larger causes than your interest. And sometimes you will lose. But victory is sweeter, no, as you move forward and pursue bigger dreams for your country.
But however, I mean that's a really beautiful sentiment, no. But we do know that many other voters their age voted for Marcos.
Yeah.
No? He would not have won this many votes kung wala rin maraming youth voters yan, no. So do you think there's a class divide here? I mean, yung mga Ateneo, UP, LaSalle, or even the college educated youths, the ones in university, pero yung youth na yung don't have that privilege, no, na makapag-aral sa university or being in a major urban center where maraming sources of information, maraming mentors, etc. Is that a divide here? I mean, I'm sure we can't tell right now, no?
Pero, yeah.
Pero just based on yung anecdotal information natin, alam natin, no, na karamihan ng mga itong mga private school, the private schools themselves and the private school students, and I guess the more elite public institutions, katulad ng UP, they were really campaigning for one camp mostly, you know. But I suppose many other youths were not campaigning as actively, but they ended up voting for Marcos.
Yeah. Oh, kung ganun karami yung boto ni Marcos, I think it's going to be across class, no? Kasi sa surveys din, di ba, across class. I think yung divide among the young people might be not really because they're college educated or not college educated. I think it depends on yung socialization nila sa family and sa school. Kasi marami sa tingin ko ngayon na de-emphasize yung social sciences and humanities. Diba? So sa mga colleges in which, tinignan ko nga yung breakdown sa CHED, marami kasing kumukuha ng engineering, ng architecture, ng business administration ang pinakamarami, in which I'm pretty sure, no? Kasi kung 60, 100 yung tao sa isang general education subject, sa isang, you know, not so, you know, quote-unquote elite school, I'm pretty sure na, you know, parang mabilisan lang, no? Or ang laki ng pag-de-emphasize sa humanities and the social sciences, which actually, you know, educators say is the arena where young people are really taught to achieve critical thinking skills. So, yeah. At kasama na rin doon yung pag-de-emphasize ng history, halimbawa. So tingin ko mas yun eh, pero kailangan pa ng masusing pag-aaral para ma-test yung hypothesis ko na yan.
Alam mo yung last year, no, nung nag-re-register itong mga first time voters and yung mga, I guess first, hindi lang yung mga young voters but people voting for the first time or first time in a long time. Ang haba ng mga pila. Ang naisip ko noon, prof, no, na will these people fall in this kind of line? Will they be so committed to register to vote if they're going to vote for the status quo or what represents the status quo? So I already saw it as a kind of a sign that voters would want change, no? Pero again, parang may mali na naman na assumption, no?
Na,
in fact, Comelec was saying the newly registered voters exceeded their projections, kaya nagkaroon pa ng extension, if you recall, no? So may mali na naman assumption, no? And another wrong assumption that many made was that nung kaya malakas yung effect ng nitong mga TikTok and YouTube videos kasi most of us were stuck at home for almost 2 years, no? Na wala masyadong interaction, and we were just staring at our screens, and you know, parang kumbaga we're like just empty vessels at home, no? Just scrolling through TikTok or Instagram, whatever, no? And then, nung nag-uumpisa na yung campaign, biglang lumuwag dahil nga bumagsak na yung COVID cases. And then all of a sudden people are able to go out in large numbers. So it seemed like, you know, the stars were aligning. People were leaving their screens at home and then being exposed to, you know, real world interactions, and maybe they're going to get other, you know, see other sources of information, and then this will have an effect on their decision making. And but apparently mali na naman yung assumption na yon, no? Na itong pandemic, the loosening of all the restrictions apparently didn't really have much in effect either, no?
Oo nga eh. I also thought, no, I had hope for the first time voters to, you know, at least change the status quo, but let's see. Kaya sana may magandang exit polls na mag-come out, no? Out of these elections para mas mapag-aralang mabuti.
So what did you think, ma'am, of the conduct of these elections?
As usual, alam mo, you know, I understand that Comelec is perennially experiencing scarce budgetary resources. I understand that it's difficult to fill in the personnel items kasi matagal eh. Matagal yung DBM mag-process, no? Ng gobyerno, kaya kulang din sila sa mga tao. But then, yung VCM machines, I mean, what on earth happened, no? That on the day of the elections, more than 1,000 yung magka-conk out, and yun nga, ang daming muntik nang ma-disenfranchise. People had to wait 12 hours just to vote. It's unacceptable. And considering the trauma we've had in past elections where it was proven that there were irregularities, the unfortunate thing for the Comelec is that konting mistakes lang nila can easily be assumed to be nandadaya or may attempt to cheat or to rig the elections. Yun yung problema eh. So dapat ang Comelec talaga very competent, no? Na parang they cannot afford to have mistakes or super many mistakes. Although they say that it's very minimal, it will not compromise the outcome of the election. However, because of social media, parang ang gulo. Kasi you hear bawat tweet, bawat nababasa mo sa Facebook, pictures and everything, na almost in real time mo na experience yung whatever was happening in other parts of the country. Nakaka ang sense tuloy ng tao, ang gulo. Diba? Kahit na sabi mo, i-explain mo na minimal. Eh, nauna na yung perception na ganon. So, I don't know how they will actually try to improve in implementing the elections in the coming elections.
Mm-hmm. How do you think Bongbong Marcos will govern?
I think he will still be wary of traditional media. Kasi if it's any indication, last night, he also had a recorded statement. When a politician does that, it signals that he doesn't want to be questioned. Secondly, his handlers want to control his image. Diba? What he wants to control his message. So I don't know how exactly he is going to govern by having that kind of a strategy, no? It's also difficult to say that he will succeed in uniting the country because ang laki ng bagahe niya. Unless his family admits to what they committed during the martial law era, unless isoli nila yung ill-gotten wealth, eh lahat ng gagawin niya suspect. Diba? So how can he even begin to unite the country? Yun ang problema dyan. No?
Well, he won the election, no? But can he just dismiss the kakamping crowd, no? Natalo niya, but they still number in the millions, and
yeah,
and they include many influential sectors, you know, the Catholic Church, universities, many personalities, showbiz nga, many former government officials, may mga former generals pa, no? So Bongbong ran under a unity theme. So will he or should he extend that principle of unity to reaching out across the aisle? Kaya ba niya? Ano dapat ang priority niya?
He will try to reach out, but the question is how? Because ano eh, yung ano nila dun sa ginawa nila during the martial law era, it's a matter of principle for most people, di ba? So even if, let's say, gusto niya na unity, and how, what an indicator of that for a normal, newly elected president would be to appoint someone, no? From the other camp. Pero how can he do that? Merong bang takers? Di ba? Hindi ko alam.
Well, we might be surprised.
Totoo no. Yun. There might be takers.
You offer power to someone.
Yeah, I can imagine. The lure of power.
Yeah, exactly. Ito yung sinasabi niyong baggage, no? We've heard them say na, you know, it's, I think Aimee Marcos herself was said na, you know, it's, we need to move on, no? From all of that, and from that history in the 1970s and from the 60s to the early 80s, no, nung panahon ng tatay nila, and maybe they'll interpret this mandate as the Filipino people deciding that they've moved on, di ba? Kasi if they haven't moved on, if we haven't moved on, bakit siya mananalo with this kind of margin?
Yeah,
diba?
And
maybe they'll be able to say, you know, this, you know, we're not admitting anything. We don't have to kasi naka-move on na yung taong bayan eh.
Yeah.
And I can reach out to you with magnanimity without apologies, without admitting anything. And it's up to you to accept whatever I offer dahil nanalo na ako. I have this huge mandate, no? Naka-move on na yung bayan eh. Now it's up to you if you want to move on. Kung gusto mong maiwanan, it's up to you. Pero naka-move on na itong ating young population of voters, naka-move on na.
That's actually why they really tried very hard to have such a margin, because they will use that to achieve legitimacy, and they will use it to say that people have already forgotten, and only a few groups do not want to move on, no? So yun, gagamitin nila. But then with a kakamping crowd, my sense is that my fear is that dadami ang red tagging, and he will also do a Duterte, meaning to say he will court the military and the police, because he will be very afraid to be deposed. Kasi nakita niya yung crowd eh. Diba? So, yeah.
And it's a very motivated crowd, no?
Exactly. But all the more that they will really control their messaging, they will control their relationship with the traditional media, they will just talk to friendly media. Mukhang ganun.
People are still hoping for accountability, you know, for what happened during the Duterte administration, the thousands killed in the anti-drug campaign, for example. I guess any hope for that under a Marcos government has been extinguished, or what do you think?
Meron din kasing tinatawag na societal accountability when vertical and horizontal accountability have failed. Vertical meaning yung elections, horizontal yung checks and balances. So yun yung kailangan palakasin. And civil society in the Philippines and people's movement, social movement, have always been very active in this regard, no? You know, ang isa pang casualty nitong campaign na to, no? Because nga, when Marcos entered the fray, he already defined the narrative of the campaign. It's either you are with Marcos or you are against him. Kaya nga naging two-way fight, eh. Kaya nga si Isko, hindi niya alam ano nangyari sa kanya kasi gusto niyang gumitna. Na hindi nga ganun yung narrative, eh, na hindi ka pwedeng gumitna. So, ang nangyari naman, hindi na take into account yung pandemic response at yung drug war ni Duterte. At strategic sa kanya na hindi siya nag-endorse, tapos vice president lang yung tinakbuhan ni Sara. Yun yung sense ko.
Bakit sa tingin nyo hindi nag-endorse ang Pangulo? He didn't even show up at the meeting de avance of the tandem.
Well, he was probably just pissed off by the fact that he was not privy to the negotiations during the time that Sara joined. I mean, having known him publicly since 2016, para sa kanya, tingin ko lahat personal. Diba? Kasi nung nakikita niya ng mukhang ito na talaga mananalo, biglang iba iihip ng hangin. Lahat laro lang sa kanya, diba? Parang ganon. Unfortunately for us, of course.
So, educator kayo, Prof, no? And there are some who say na ito na, talagang tuloy-tuloy na yung pagwa-whitewash ng history. Uh-huh. Are we really on the road to forgetting all of this? Kasi nga, there are going to be official resources na backing these efforts. Ano dapat ang gawin ng educational system ng mga educators katulad nyo?
Yung education system, tingin ko, ano, palitan nila yung mga textbook sa DepEd. Kasi mahalaga yun, no? Yun din ang binabasa ng mga teachers. Teacher training is also important. Kasi kahit na sabihin mong maganda yung content ng textbook, kung wala naman na silang time to actually teach, to learn about the latest pedagogical trends, hindi rin may impart sa mga students, no? So, isa lang paraan yan, yung education. Secondly, pop culture. You know, in other countries, you know, they've been so good in making pop culture a venue in which history can be discussed, no? Of course, pwedeng sabihin natin may cinematic license yan, baka hindi accurate. At the very least, people will do their search, will do their Google research, no? Totoo ba what really happened? It can be talked about, no? It can be a topic of conversation. And pop culture kasi, ang maganda doon, hindi mo alam na nag-permeate na sa'yo sa mindset mo. Kasi nga, parang entertainment siya, no? Unlike, syempre, yung education. Minsan, you're so guarded kasi tinatamad ka, parang may grade. Pero yung pop culture, you are entertained, no? Some countries are good with that, no? Kasama yun sa hindi paglimot, eh. The third is yung traditional media should really try very hard to once again gain the trust of the public. Meron akong nabasa, no, na isa sa mga pang-combat ng disinformation is when traditional media does its reporting, especially halimbawa kung, yun nga, halimbawa may panel interview, siguro kailangan nilang sabihin doon sa mga guests, maging transparent sila, kung saan ang gagaling yung guest. Halimbawa, Duterte supporter, a Marcos supporter, para mas transparent kesa yung nagsasabi, oh, maging objective kayo, maging objective, and then suddenly, you know. Kasi ngayon, ano lang naman eh, kahit traditional media, people can splice what you're saying, diba? Hindi naman na siya buo na nare-record and then buo siya. So makikita yung buong context na sinasabi mo. People can do lots of things with what we have right now. So yun yung problema. So isa rin yun for traditional media to be more transparent.
To what extent do you think itong mga pangyayari, itong election result was a result of our educational system nga? May pagkukulang ba?
Oo. Mm-mm. But it's not just the educational system per se, sabi ko nga, marami pang iba, pero a big part of it is that yung pag-de-emphasize ng history and the social sciences. Na I would believe hindi na talaga yan na, ano? Especially people are saying, anong gagawin mo diyan sa sociology? Anong gagawin mo diyan sa humanities? Hindi naman makakain yan, 'di ba? So I'm not saying that people should all be social scientists or go into the social sciences. What I'm trying to say is that general education subjects should be taken seriously.
I'd like to wind up by asking you, what about the last few months of these political campaigns. No? Should we commit to memory? What should we remember that will improve our society?
Sa akin, I have very high hopes for the young generation who supported the campaign of Lenny and Kiko. Maybe I'm too idealistic, but it happened to me. I was there in EDSA 1986, and I never forgot about it. It was my political awakening. And I hope that, you know, most of the young, of course, people change as they grow older, no? But I hope that a significant part of the young people who were there have been forever changed and would lead their lives thinking that, you know, there are causes beyond your own interest and that it's not always easy, but there are issues that are worth fighting for.
Okay. Thank you for that hope. And maraming salamat sa inyong pagbabahagi, Professor Jean Encinas Franco of UP Diliman.
Thank you. It's always nice to talk to you. Thank you so much.
This episode was produced by Aubrey De Los Reyes and Pau Requesto and edited by JR Magtoto with the wonderful people of GMA News and Public Affairs Digital. Thank you, Podmates, for staying until the very end of this podcast. Alam nyo na, nakakatalino ang mahabang attention span. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Till the next pod, mabuhay kayo at ingat lagi.